Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It rained and it's sunny. It's one of those weird things or something. I don't know. I can't understand this weather. But that's fine. You know, eventually it'll be summer and then we'll all be talking about how hot it is. Joining us now by phone from elsewhere in Florida, Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So, you know, there was an incident that I had forgotten to bring up last week, and so we're going just a little bit past our normal one-week roundup, but there was a report of a shooter or something at the Parafields in Santa Rosa County. Of course, you're the sheriff there. And your chief deputy actually was on the scene, and I guess a coach had gotten disordered. What happened here? What was this? Because this is, people get scared anytime they hear there's a gun or a gunman or anything like this.
Yeah.
And social media goes crazy and everybody's buzzing about it. What actually happened?
Yeah, and that's the bad part is social media. It blew it up. So basically what happened, they had to eject a guy from the ball field because he was arguing with a coach or something. And, you know, a gun was never shown. A gun was never even brought to the field. Nothing like that. And the next thing you know, people are running off the field screaming because somebody said, yeah, he's got a gun. He's got an active shooter, And then it blew up on Facebook. And I talked to my chief deputy, and he said not only was there never a gun shown, he can't even find out or figure out where people even said, hey, I'm going to go get a gun. I mean, it was absolutely none. There was an argument. The guy got kicked off the field. He didn't even come back to the field. And the next thing you know, you have everybody screaming active shooter, which is, you know, the craziest thing ever. And if we could figure out and narrow it down to a person who screamed active shooter, knowing there wasn't one, we would arrest them. Because it's the same way as you go into a movie theater and yell fire. When there's no fire, you cause a panic. And and that is against the law.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, I'm also, I find it more and more, I understand the people who embellish a little bit or get some of the fine points wrong. I mean, I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Well, no.
I just don't understand where the whole cloth lie comes from. It's
exactly. Exactly. And it's just people wanting, I guess, to feel important or to, I don't know what it is. I just know that it was blown so far out of proportion. And we had, as a matter of fact, we had the Okaloosa sheriff called and said, hey, if y'all need people, let me know. I'm thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
There was nothing. We obviously don't need any people, extra people, because there was no one with a gun.
Right.
Except my chief deputy.
I will say, I like that, you know, you guys are doing this a little bit more. Scambia is doing this a little bit more where it's, hey, here's the rumor control, you know, hey, here's the information you might have heard, and this is just false. And I wish you didn't have to do that in this day and age, but apparently you do. Your deputies, we've talked about this a little bit. You have an interstate criminal enforcement team that, you know, because typically the interstate is largely the domain of FHP. But you guys are helping them, and you recently had a pretty big nab on the interstate, right?
Yeah, and remember, from mile marker 22 to mile marker 42 is Santa Rosa County. So, FHP does go out there and work wrecks and do enforcement activities and stuff. But, you know, it's our jurisdiction as well. So they've been out there now for about 3 years, and they've gotten some pretty good licks. Most of the ones they've gotten a human trafficking with some little girls back a couple of years ago we talked about, and then a lot of it is fraud stuff. The last big one before this one was some guys with fake checks, fake credit cards, and a credit card making machine and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, yeah, so I remember that.
They get all kinds of stuff. But this one was, a pretty good drug bust. Two individuals got arrested. I think they had guns. There was two guns, and then there was half a kilo of cocaine, a really good amount of fentanyl. And then the other, you know, stuff, marijuana, little stuff like that. But, they're doing a good job out there, and they're also seizing money and cars. And, cause remember, if you're trafficking narcotics or you're committing a felony and you're driving your car, that makes it susceptible to seizure. So, that's something to think about. That's why a lot of drug dealers now, what they're doing is they're renting cars because they know, hey, we can't seize our own car. So that's what they're starting to do.
Really? Interesting. That's okay. Yeah. When I think of crime and rental cars, I think of, like, you know, what happened in New Orleans, or, you know, people that are, you know, they couldn't steal a car, so they rent a car in order to commit a drive-by or something like that. I never thought about it as just ordinary transportation. But yeah, if you can't seize a rental in the commission of a felony, but, like, you could seize their Camaro or whatever. So interesting.
Right.
Well, you know, as we always say, the criminals will adapt. You know, they're nothing if not innovative. One last thing I wanted to ask you about is, I guess you had a man barricaded, in Navarre, if I'm not mistaken, because, and he had an outstanding warrant from Milton, for tampering with an electronic device. Tell me about this story. What happened here?
Yeah. So he cuts off a monitor. We go to find him. I think it was his girlfriend's house. They go and they locate him in the front yard. He runs inside and he's got a really violent criminal history. I mean, a lot of bad stuff. So when he runs in the place, he barricades himself. He's making it obvious he's not coming out. And then so it turns into a SWAT call out, because that's what they're there for. They can enter the house or use other things to get him out of the house and take him into custody. And then it's kind of comical, actually, at the end of it, when the Bearcat pulled into the front yard, they announce, "Hey, this is Santa Rosa SWAT. Come out with your hands up." And he couldn't get out of the house fast enough. So apparently he knew the capabilities of our SWAT team, because he pretty much ran out of the house and gave up in the front yard.
And so they didn't have to breach, didn't have to send in a dog, anything like that?
Yeah, no.
Outstanding.
Nothing like that.
Well, we will take that. I know you're in Orlando for the Orlando or Miami? Orlando?
Orlando now, medical examiner commission meeting. I'm a commissioner on the MEC.
So you had the sheriff's meeting last week, and now you've got the medical examiner's board this week, and eventually get to come home to Santa Rosa County and, you know, teach us all the wonderful things that you learned over there.
Yeah, I'm coming back tomorrow. My meeting should be over about noon tomorrow, and I'm coming back then. So I'll get to sleep in my own bed tomorrow night, thank God.
Finally. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time. I know, especially when you're out of town, it's a little bit more inconvenient. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, take care, Andrew.
You bet. 816 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. We're still rolling accident-free right now, but seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Those accidents have been moved off the side of the road, but just some minor delays through the construction zone. That's basically all I'm seeing so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you've got that lawn and you want it to be beautiful in, you know, a couple of months, well, you call NSEC today, right? The results do not happen immediately, but that's why you call them in advance. You want to get a beautiful lawn this summer? Start thinking about that now. In fact, really, I mean, the window is starting to get to the end, right? Like, you should really act, okay? And NSEC will come out. They'll, you know, do some soil sampling. They'll take a look at what your lawn's got. They'll, you know, see what kind of weeds you're dealing with, what kind of control they need to implement, and then they will come back with a plan. And there's no cost to have them look at it, okay? It's not like you're obligated to do something. They're going to look at it. They're going to give you the ideas of what they want to do, and then they'll tell you how much it's going to be. And then if you do it, they'll come out 8 times a year, and they'll take care of your lawn and any of the fungus you're dealing with, any of the invasive weeds you're dealing with, any of that kind of stuff. They'll give you that beautiful, lush lawn, and then you can be thrilled with the end result. They've also got a landscaping program if you want. They've also got insect control if you want, but you can just do, you know, lawn stuff if you want with them. Sign up today, get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program. That includes that initial soil sample and lime treatment on an average-size yard. Sign up today at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Tune in tomorrow at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when guests Shelley Ragsdale, Corey Booth, and JT Young from Florida Power & Light will be on the show.
talking about everything you need to know that's happening this spring and summer. Learn about spring savings tips, prepping for warm temperatures, and programs to help you save by managing energy consumption and more. Tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Two things I know to be true. There's no difference between good flan and bad flan. And there is no war.
Of course there's a war. I'm watching it on television.
Spent 24 hours, I need more hours with you.
Turning now to page 70 in my show prep.
And yes, you do have.
I mean, today is over 100. And that's not even counting the sound clips. You know, that's not counting watching
over
the meetings.
100 for today?
100 pages plus today. Now, some of that's holdover. Like, you know, about 25 of that's holdover, yeah. But
oh, okay.
Plus the, God, how many did I cut from the Board of Trustees meeting? 50 or 60, I think. And that was only half of the ones I had marked out. I'm not even done with it yet. By the way, I've had a really long conversation today with lots of evidence about the Board of Trustees meeting. In fact, you know what? I was going to do something different, but do I have time to do this right here? Let me just, I had not been meaning to do this, but maybe I do have time for this. Okay. All right. Let's knock it out in the same day. I have said before that Adam Kissel, okay, is a guy that I like having on the board, even though he's out of the area. I think he brings a lot of knowledge, perspective, interest. He's the kind of guy I want on the board, okay, a dissenting voice. I did not like the way I thought he was part of the grilling of Martha Saunders. I do believe that he has been part of the ousting effort of Martha Saunders, which is underway right now. But he's also asking questions that need to be asked. And I thought this was a very good series of questions. It wasn't more of a question. It was more of a presentation. But if we're trying to eliminate DEI and social justice and all of this nonsense from the universities, then this line of reasoning makes sense. Here, check it out.
Maybe we can turn from social media to social work. I have a very serious concern about the Department of Social Work's ability to even exist and function under SB 266. The Department of Social Work bylaws say that the department is committed to promoting social and economic justice. That's a moral and ethical commitment, it seems to me. Both the BSW and MSW programs assess students on whether they have the, quote, competency of advancing social, economic, and environmental justice. So what I hope that we might do at a future, in fact, the next either Academic Affairs Committee meeting or General Board meeting, is invite the Department of Social Work to send somebody to talk to us about how it defines some of these terms, how it comports with SB 266.
Yeah. I mean, the social, if there's any place in the university that is most fundamentally at odds with the anti-DEI stance of the governor and the Board of Governors, it's going to be the social work department. I mean, you could argue it's English, you know, you could argue it's sociology, you could argue to some degree it may well be philosophy, but I mean, it's going to be social work if it's anywhere. And for him to bring this up, I thought was interesting because the social work domain is so dominated by this way of thinking.
It happens to a student who doesn't have the, quote, social work values that are the commitment of the department. Again, I would hope for institutional neutrality down to even to the departmental level. So social work values at the core of the BSW program at a public university just seems like a First Amendment challenge and risk. So I'd love to hear from the social work department about how they put these pieces together, especially regarding accreditation of the social work program, which I believe is needed for licensure in the state of Florida for especially the MSW graduates.
Yeah. And again, not just teaching about how to help families and individuals and groups and communities function and thrive. I mean, that's a project as old as there's been people who cared about people, right? I mean, that's a long-standing Christian and other project for thousands of years. That's doesn't have to be based on the premise of DEI or social justice or institutional bigotry, which can exist and can be real, but you don't have to subscribe to the idea that America is a wicked institutional, you know, corrupt system in order to work on helping families and communities and individuals have better lives. And so I very much think he's right about this. And he goes farther in talking about the particular elements, for example, of tests and accreditation that really run afoul of this premise of either neutrality or balance in the university.
CSWE, that's the accreditor for social work, competencies, and competency three, you know, says social workers understand, and by this they mean must understand, the pervasive impact of white supremacy and privilege. Social workers understand how racism and oppression shape human experiences. Social workers demonstrate anti-racist and anti-oppressive social work practice. So if I'm a student, I basically am being told you must have these views about white supremacy and oppression in order to make my way through my public university's BSW or MSW program. Competency two among the accreditation requirements are similar. So I'm just wondering if it's even possible for us to have a social work department that's consistent with state law and consistent with the accreditation requirements of an outside accreditor. I would love to, Chair Matthews, to have you consider bringing in the social work department to help us understand that. And if you think that's not appropriate for general board, then we can do it in Economic Affairs Committee.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. Is it even possible to have a social work program that comports with state law and also will satisfy the requirements of our accrediting agency? Now, maybe we need to find a different accrediting agency, which is they're kind of in the works on that, by the way. But that's I think that's a fair question. And it may be that it can't function within both of those confines. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, you do not have to be a woke, liberal, whatever phrase you prefer, in order to work in the social work domain. I have a very good friend who is a professor of social work who is an adamant conservative Christian. But it's really hard. he gets passed over and he gets not hired and he gets not published. And, you know, he is definitely an outsider. He is the oppressed minority in that domain. But it shouldn't be that way, right? You shouldn't have to buy into all of this stuff just because you want to work in a field where you're going to help people, families, communities, and so forth. Anyway, back to Adam Kissel. Explaining some of the you remember a couple of months ago? Gosh, when was it? It was several months ago. I actually went through all of the course listings at UWF, and I highlighted for you some of the ones that made me kind of go, ooh, it was when we were talking about this Senate bill and, you know, the ending of DEI. And I saw ones that gave me concern. And I mentioned at the time, there weren't very many. UWF is not so bad on this scale, but there were definitely ones. Well, he did an even deeper dive and went through looking at test questions and finals questions and curriculum and stuff like that, which I didn't even go that far.
Just to give you a few more examples, social work 5629, human diversity and social justice. This course examines the impact of social, economic, and political environments on diverse populations, specifically race, gender, age, ethnicity, social class, sexual orientation, gender identity, religion, physical and mental ability. This course integrates the key elements of the social work profession through the lens of social, political, and economic justice. Social Work 6618 says, we will investigate clinical processes as they are informed by psychopathology and developmental issues across the life cycle, as well as institutionalized depression, poverty, racism, sexism, heterosexism, and other inequities. And SOW 6619, to conclude, the impact of poverty, racism, sexism, and manifestations of institutionalized depression upon clients and workers are addressed at an advanced level. That's only open to MSW students.
And by the way, I think that anybody going into the field of social work should be exposed to these ideas and to consider whether they think they are the best explanation for the problems that they're going to encounter in their professional work. I don't think you should shield them. You just shouldn't teach them as fact and require people to adhere to them as a prerequisite of them getting their degree or getting their courses passed. Exposure is fine. It's advocacy that becomes the problem in the classroom, and advocacy to the point that you can't even take criticism seriously and that people get punished for disagreeing with the dominant narrative. That's when it becomes not education, but indoctrination. So I think that's a very fair question about social work and the future of the social work program at UWF. 829 on News Radio 92.3, and that's the kind of, like I said, thoughtfulness that I think Adam Kissel normally brings. I just thought that his one line of questioning with Martha Saunders was very inappropriate. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. The race for the Stanley Cup continues. The Stars soared past the Jets in Game 3 of the best of the seven West second round series. Dallas now leads that series 2-1, and they'll host Winnipeg for Game 4 on Tuesday. Several federal judges apparently getting unwanted pizza deliveries. The trend started back in February. The number of unsolicited pizzas now in the hundreds. Most judges targeted have been involved in high-profile cases challenging Trump administration policies.
I'm confused. Unwanted pizza delivery. I'm not sure I understand how that's possible.
If it's paid for, I'll take it.
If it's pizza,
yeah,
and it's paid for, how can it be unwanted?
The words are all in English, but it does not make sense.
It's a full-blown oxymoron to me. If you're bringing pizza to my house paid for, that's never unwanted.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Big news as President Trump launches his first international trip to Saudi Arabia. First, signing an executive order to lower the cost of prescription drugs at least half to 80%, invoking most favored nation pricing.
The United States of America is less than 5% of the world's population, yet we purchase 75% of Big Pharma's profits. We pay an astronomical amount in comparison to other countries around the world.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. Markets surging on trade talks in Geneva. The U.S. and China drop 115% tariffs for 90 days. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
Neither side wants a decoupling.
And Hamas agrees with U.S. negotiators to release the last American living hostage, 21-year-old Adon Alexander from New Jersey. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got a beautiful morning. Sunshine, 70 degrees in Pensacola. Our community showed its support for its military presence over the weekend. The Navy Days celebration held its second annual year of events, including a black tie gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum on Friday night. Speakers included NAS Pensacola Commander Captain Chandra Newman.
Every mechanic that turns a wrench, every sensor operator, every naval flight officer, every cyber warrior, 60% of our fleet calls Pensacola home for the first time coming out of boot camp. 60% of our fleet calls Pensacola home the first time they actually come into the Navy to learn their craft.
And Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves also spoke at that event. Navy Days is intended to show support for the entire military presence in Northwest Florida, including, of course, the Navy facilities around the area, nearby Air Force installations, the Army, and even the Space Force. There was also a parade, a 4K run, and a family-friendly fun fest that was held downtown on Saturday. Speaking of the Navy, a Pensacola native has been named the Naval Education and Training Command Sailor of the Year. Master at Arms First Class Patrick Hill is assigned to the Naval Technical Training Center in Lackland, Texas. The announcement was made Friday. Hill was chosen from four finalists that represent the Navy's top performers out of their commands worldwide. The Emerald Coast Utilities Authority is going to stop adding fluoride to Escambia County's drinking water following a new state law banning the practice. Governor DeSantis plans to sign that into effect as of July 1st. The utility now has about 5 weeks' worth of fluoride left and won't be ordering any more once it's depleted. ECUA spends about $345,000 per year on fluoride, according to the News Journal, which now will be redirected to maintaining carbon filters that remove harmful pollutants from the water. That decision comes after 30 years of fluoride use, which was approved by voters first in 1998. Escambia County deputies arrested a third suspect in the fatal shooting of Andrew Sanders back in April. 19-year-old Antonio Larkins was booked into the Escambia jail Friday. Investigators say he initiated a drug deal with the victim, which ended up being shot and killed during the interaction. 21-year-old Michael Polnitz and 17-year-old Kayla Banner were also arrested last week.
We can talk about parenting. We can talk about social issues. But the bottom line is the people that are involved in this high-risk behavior, they know what they're getting into, and they know that there's a risk.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, Sanders' body was found in an abandoned vehicle in a grassy lot in April. Simmons said the killing is not believed to be gang-related, although Larkins did have a known gang affiliation. And it is 8:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Well, we're back to rolling accident-free and delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to make your way in a little bit harder. Everything is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially for the first half of the day. 79 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 66. For Tuesday, 30% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 83 and a low near 74. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Sunshine right now. We've got 71 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 74 reported in Milton. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning. Our markets are up at the opening bell following reports that China and the U.S. have agreed to some temporary tariff cuts. The Dow is up 964 points, 42,213. S&P up 146 points at 5807. The NASDAQ up 649.5 points at 18,578. 10-year bond rate up a bit at 4.457%. Gold price is down $101 at 3243 even. Silver price is down a nickel at 3286. And crypto, let's see, Bitcoin down 347.62 this morning at 104,188. But seeing some gains in Ethereum, Solana, Dogecoin, and XRP. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the Trump administration is closing in on a trade deal with China following weekend talks in Switzerland. Bessent said the two countries have now agreed to pause their reciprocal tariffs for 90 days, with both sides lowering those rates by 115%. A lithium deposit worth over $1 trillion has been discovered in the U.S., located in the McDermott Caldera on the Oregon-Nevada border, is what could be one of the largest lithium deposits ever found. Many see it as a possible boost for electric battery production. Locals in that area, though, concerned about the impact on wildlife and cultural sites. Netflix says they're planning to pull interactive movie selections from the streaming service. They'll be removing Black Mirror, Bandersnatch, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Kimmy versus the Reverend today. The decision marks an end of Netflix's efforts to make the interactive format available to customers. It comes as the company is now ramping up its gaming portfolio. It's 8:37. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Hey, if you have a project in your home that you're working on and you want some advice or you need materials or, you know, just you need to go to the hardware store for something. Pensacola Hardware, it's there for you. They've been there for you for 173 years. It's kind of amazing. But also, if you build things for a living, like you're a construction professional, you work in the contracting arena, they are there. They are literally your commercial construction supply business here in town, and they have been that, like I said, since before the Civil War. You need special orders, specified products from the architect or the engineer, they can take care of that for you. They speak your language. You won't have to ask for a translator or bring someone with you or feel like, ugh, I have to explain this to somebody again. They already know. They've worked with other people to solve the same issues, okay? They know the codes. They probably know the inspectors. They know your industry. Jimmy, Martin, Mansfield, any of them can work with you easily, no problem. So if you've never been there, go and say, look, Andrew's always raving about you and what you can do for me. Show me. And they will. And then, you know, you can make an informed decision at that point. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, so we've been talking about this a little off and on today, but one of the news items that my wife actually made me aware of and all the rest of the world seems to have missed is that in the flurry of executive orders Trump has issued recently, one of them is that by September, all federal agencies are going to get off of using physical checks. They're not going to take them. They're not going to send them. So you will use electronic funds transfers to pay your taxes. You will use direct deposit to receive your Social Security check. Anything that you deal with the government. Now, there's some exemptions built in for people who don't have banking in an effort to kind of solve for those people. But generally speaking, the mass of humanity is going to go to electronic funds transfers of some sort instead of physical checks for the federal government in September. My question is, do you like physical checks or do you like direct deposit and EFTs? 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens, who is old for his age or young for his age?
Easy. Easy, big dog. Easy, big dog.
You better not ask me that question, buddy.
check, physical check, or electronic?
Oh, electronic. All day long.
Yeah.
I don't even have to. I don't even know where. It's been like 20 years since I've written a check.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't even have a checkbook. You don't have checks.
Why do
no
that?
No register. None of that. It's all online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. All right. Meg, dear Meg, 437-1620, the question of the day. Physical checks. What would you rather get? A tax refund, Social Security check, or whatever. Give or get, you know, electronic funds or physical paper checks.
Well, boys, back in the day, when we used to write the physical checks.
Well, that's after you would, you know, you went away from using nuggets of gold, right? That's
no, that was other. We had bartered other things back in the day, but you know, I remember the first time I wrote that first check and I put my name on there and I wrote it in cursive and everything and I was so proud of myself. I showed my mom and dad. I said, "Look, I wrote a check, Mom." It was a big deal.
Accent and all.
I know. Awesome. I love the accent or the voice. I also love picturing you bartering cow's milk for your federal taxes or whatever.
Not that far back in the day, buddy.
don't know. It sounded pretty far back to me.
I had one thing that I had to write a check for because the person didn't accept anything but checks because they were older. Okay. So now probably 99% of what I do is electronic. But I kind of miss it. There's something to be said for that. Although I don't miss it in a grocery store because nothing is more annoying than a person writing a check.
Right? No, I'm totally with you.
Yes,
so the argument, there's sort of the philosophical governmental efficiency argument, which is fraud, waste, the processing. I mean, there's all kinds of costs to the federal government of having to do physical checks. I'm not interested in that part because I do not care. I mean, I should because I'm a conservative, but I should care. What I care about is I just don't like the feeling that somebody's got their fingers in my electronic accounts. And that's what it feels like.
I agree. Yes. Something about writing your own check, you still feel like you have some control.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They can't get in there and, you know, if they can deposit, they can withdraw.
Correct.
And if they can withdraw, they can do anything. And I just...
And they can snoop.
Yeah, right.
That's what I don't like.
All of it makes me uncomfortable. Now, Adana, who is a dear, 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 one of my best friends, she owns the Mathnasiums here locally, and she's on for Pep Talk next. I don't know if you're laughing at me or laughing with me, but...
Yes.
Excellent, always.
Good answer, Adana, with these two. Trust me.
Physical checks. You
I
run a business.
Often enough.
So physical checks or electronic funds transfers?
So I write way more physical checks for my business than I do with home. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because there are a lot of businesses that will prefer to be paid immediately, and when we have separate centers, it's super helpful to be able to leave a check with them rather than paying it some other way. That way they've got their money, I've already paid it out, and it's... just works out great.
Can you post date an EFT? I don't do my wife does the banking. Can you, John? You can. You can set it to be active at a certain time.
Payment.
Okay. Oh, the government does that quite well. You can see it pending in your account, but you can't touch it.
You do anything with it. Mm. It's almost there.
I know.
Almost there. You're like Luke in the Death Star. 437-1620. Let's go to John with Traffic on the Fives, and we'll get back to your text, which is on the question of do you prefer physical checks or electronic funds transfers?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are actually all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go or, you know, who to buy from or what to get, go to Frontier Motors and look around. They're like a buffet of cars, like 300 cars on the lot, trucks, vans, SUVs, minivans, you know, all kinds of stuff, okay? And you can sample 5 or 6, 10, whatever you want to do, sit in them. Play with the knobs, turn them on, drive them. They're all available for you. In fact, honestly, one of the advantages I always think is you don't have to go to different places. And you know how when you go to a different place, what do you have to do? You got to meet a different salesperson, and you got to explain them to your life story, and then they got to try to sell you on it. Okay, go to one place. Meet one salesperson. One person is easy to deal with, and then if they have what you want, you can buy it. If they don't have what you want, they can go looking for it. Or maybe, and it does happen, you go there, you figure out kind of what you want, and then you go looking for it. I mean, it's fine. Whatever. The point is, start there. It's a great place to start. You can even ask them what they think would fit your budget, your lifestyle, what features people are liking or not liking, or which cars are having to be maintained more or less. Anyway, they have all that information. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, so to the text, the question of the day, do you prefer a cash or do you prefer an actual physical check to write or to receive, or do you prefer the electronic funds? I will tell you, the EFTs give me the willies. Having the government especially have access to my account through direct deposit just makes me unhappy. My wife and I were just talking about this. She's kind of the same way because we know a case where somebody, they had given them an authorization to their account from 15 years ago, got divorced, the wife didn't pay her taxes, and they took money out of his account because of it.
Ooh,
15 years later. Like, because that's the kind of less limited access, you know, that they really can have if they're, you know, if you're not careful about what you sign. 437-1620. Somebody says, I like them both. Somebody says, both money is money. Somebody says, I work for Social Security. We have been using direct deposit since May of 2011. Oh, no, it's definitely available. This is the mandate to get off of the physical checks. Kim says, I don't even have a checkbook. I have to get a check. If I have to get a check, I go to the bank. Completely inconvenient. Oh, sure, to get a, you know, like a cashier's check or whatever. I like the option. While electronic is super convenient, if I ever don't trust the system, I want the option to have the check. I'm just trying to think of, like, what does this make me feel like? And it makes me feel like I don't trust streaming services. I want to own the DVD. Because there have been times when I want the movie and it's not available, or the service is down. I feel like when it's a check, it's mine. It's in my grubby little paws, and I have to sign it. And when it's a... Meg, you were going to say?
I don't remember.
Okay, cool.
No, I was thinking about business and echo what Adana said. I know when I was at the chamber, it felt good to actually write the checks, put the bills in, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's something about, I don't like scheduled payments. I've noticed, like, when I sign up for a subscription and they say, it's going to be $6.95 a month.
Yeah.
And then I kind of forget about it.
Right. It's invisible.
Right. And then suddenly that price goes up and they don't tell me, or maybe they do, but I don't see the email. So there's a certain company whose name shall remain nameless that does that all the time. About every month their price goes up and I'm not paying attention. Next thing I know, my $6.95 just turned into $60.95.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, this is maybe sort of the Dave Ramsey philosophy of, if you put the cash in the envelopes, you have to put the cash in the envelopes.
Yes.
And there's something about that that makes your brain
tangible part of
process it.
It
differently. And more control, more caution. Your brain operates a little bit differently on that stuff. Let's see. Somebody says electronic for sure. I don't even have checks and prefer direct deposit, so we get it faster. Somebody else says, I own a large business. I would rather get a physical check because then we do not get charged a fee for the wire transfer.
That's true, too.
Or the credit
Good
card
point.
Payment.
Good
so anytime, point. You know, I wonder if they're going to allow credit cards to be used for the federal government.
To pay your checking,
to pay your tax bill or whatever, which would be, maybe they do already, and I don't know this. It's possible.
I think they do already.
We ask the customer if they mind writing us a check if we have a large invoice, and literally we have this phrase paper trail. Mm-hmm. That's something. Mm-hmm. Another text: I prefer electronic. It saves time, and I don't have to worry about a check going missing, which is also part of the equation. The mail is slow. The mail makes mistakes, and people can steal the mail. And this is a fair balance, like. If the government or somebody else can mismanage your EFT access or your direct deposit, also the mail can get stolen or misplaced or destroyed or put in a bag underneath the house. I mean, there's things can happen both ways. I have two utilities, my trash and my water bill. They charge a percentage to use my credit card to pay, so I send them checks. My other bills I pay through banking without them charging me a percent to my debit card. No, I totally agree with that. Where there's a front door, there's a back door to everything. Electronic checks have routing numbers and account numbers to your bank account, which is true. Which creates access. You know, you give somebody your check, you give them your bank account number. That's true. Overdependence on the convenience of EFT is a dangerous path we're wandering down. Ask the truckers in Canada what happens when the powers that be don't agree with your political views. Getting debanked over ideology, that's certainly a concern. Electronic deposit, Davis says, if I get a check, I can immediately deposit my bank account through my bank's app. A lot of text on this. Wally says, I prefer electronic. My company was just scammed with a whitewashed check. Took months to figure it out, so we are switching everything to EFTs, which is also cheaper than mailing a check. I always preferred EFT for personal. I kind of side wonder if this is an effort to put the Postal Service out of business. I mean, how much business do they get off the federal government? I don't know, just a thought. Only folks older than 50 write checks. Guilty.
Well, that's true. I was going to say, I ran into a young lady and I said, well, you can write a check. And she literally did not know anything about it. The same as when a dial phone. Does not know how to use a dial phone.
It's true.
So my bank actually charges me $15 a month if I want to be able to send ACH transactions from it.
Oh, so it's an access fee.
Right. It's the privilege of being able to send an electronic.
Okay, which I guess is their way of saying this is valuable.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if you're willing to pay, it's a way for them to make money. Direct deposits and EFTs already get it that way from the VA, from Social Security, from the IRS. I prefer EFTs, but I don't feel comfortable with the government having access to my account. Same. However, I trust the Postal Service even less. So Clint says, I have a small business and I either take checks or cash to avoid the 3-5% charge. I do pay bills online. Somebody says, here's a real kicker. If you signed up for auto pay for anything and you forgot about it and think you've stopped it, you've given them your authorization anytime to come into your account and get the money you owe them. It happened to me one time and it was over $1,000. I forgot about this thing because it was after a breakup and all this, but they came and got the $1,000, that you quote owed them. So you sign up for auto pay, giving them access, which is exactly, that's the kind of like scary thing to me. Somebody says electronic is giving up control. And last one here, I believe the government has ways to find out all your financials with no permissions needed. That's not reassuring. That doesn't make it all better. But it is probably true. It's 8:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That's right, Dad. They did a great job on me. I'm completely reformed.
Good morning, 855 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
Well, great news. No accidents nor delays to let you know about. Traffic is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I will take it. I mean, that's great. Hey, if you are considering buying or selling a home, picking up a vacation rental or a regular rental or adding a beach home, whatever the case may be, you're doing a real estate transaction or thinking about it, give Christina Leavenworth a call. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you through that. And, you know, they get a lot of results, right? They sell about three and a half, maybe four homes a week on average, because it's about 170 a year, 65, 75, somewhere in that vicinity per year. And that means that they have experience, muscle memory. They know the problems. They know how to avoid them. They know how to get you the result you want, answer your questions, help you ask better questions. And really, a lot of times we think of a realtor as somebody you call once you've decided to buy or sell. I say call her before you've decided and ask her for input. Help you make a better decision by calling an expert who can really help you, you know, figure it out in ways that you might not have been thinking about. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996, 786-3996. John?
No.
I have a...
I'm just going to say no.
I have a disturbing news item here that, well, here goes. The headline is, a big problem for AI, hallucinations are getting worse.
What? You said hallucinations for AI?
A strange thing. I'm just going to read you from the story. Okay. A strange thing is happening in the world of artificial intelligence. As the bots grow more powerful, they are as weak as they will ever be, they are generating more mistakes, hallucinations, than ever, reports the New York Times. As the story by tech writers Katie Metz and Karen Wise explains, it is not entirely clear why. As an example, they report that the new and improved O3 reasoning system deployed by OpenAI hallucinated 33% of the time when given a benchmark test involving questions about public figures. That's troubling. Understatement. But what's more of a head-scratcher is that the error rate is twice that of the previous reasoning systems. Similar stats that other companies back up the notion that it is an industry-wide 10, meaning trend. The bots are hallucinating. The better ones are hallucinating more. They don't know what's true and false. They know what the information they've been given directs them to believe or directs them to analyze, but they have no put their finger out in the real world and figure out which way the wind is blowing capability. And so they're having no body. They have only the information they've been given. I find this horrifying. What, Meg? Go ahead.
I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah.
I think there's a real danger here, and it's become very clear from many, many sources that even though we thought that it was going to be factual, that AI would be factual, the truth is it's literally accessing everything on the internet. So anything can go into a definition. It doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Right.
They just pick up the info and put it out.
And there's no, like, real-world experience to...
There's no filter. There's no even fact-checking. There's nothing. It's just information,
and
data.
No way to verify. No skepticism about the information.
No critical thinking.
Right. That's, you know, things that we tend to think are important for humans. So, you know, we used to think that maybe it was going to be emotion that was going to keep us safe. It might be like bodies or skepticism. You know, can you train a bot Can you train an AI machine to be skeptical? The overwhelming problem is that the bots base their answers on the crunching of vast amounts of data. They can't determine what is objectively true or false. According to one person they're quoting here, despite our best efforts, they will always hallucinate. This will never go away. It's good, though, right? Because if we know this, then we don't trust them with things, right? We start to say they can't do it.
That we have a whole generation that's used to the internet and Google being facts. So now when people source for writing mm-hmm. you know, different things, they're going to be sourcing something that's not necessarily true.
I have a lot of people I see online who you would otherwise think do have sort of bodies and skepticism and fact-checking capability that already pass along things that they have not.
Well, and yes, this is true. Just look at social media.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, real-world example. AI bot for Cursor, a tool for programmers, was telling customers that a new company policy forbade them from using Cursor on more than one computer. After a backlash, the chief executive had to explain that no such policy actually exists.
Wow.
I mean...
that's scary.
Okay. Maybe there's hope for us after all.
Local news every hour and breaking news...